Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And I think there's definitely a faction of, you know, the GMs are coming in younger, and there's more have played true fantasy football and stuff like that, and they're growing up in the world of trades.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. One point in the press conference says this isn't fantasy football, then kind of says some of his counterparts are younger and might have actually played true fantasy football. So one of the interesting things I took out from yesterday's press conference, I'm having Joe Kelly, who's in producing today, grab another clip that was about 3 minutes in. Because, you know, you got asked a lot of questions, and good questions, good answers. I appreciated the GM's tone. He didn't kind of go up there with bluster about how they don't need to do anything. He said they worked hard at it and tried to, and that they had stashed some money and tried to do more. So it's funny, like a little bit of yesterday was Bills Mafia, some Bills fans that I'm watching online say, if they weren't going to do anything, why'd they move Taron Johnson's money? And the answer is they did that because they wanted to do something. And the GM said that they had other deals kind of ready to give them a little bit more if they would have needed it. So 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's off. So here's my my Twitter poll for you. I've got this up on Twitter. His message was one of disappointment they didn't get a deal done. He did, though, even so, say he believes they have a championship roster. Do you agree? So give me a call on that. Do you think that this team can win as constructed? 6-2, and the thing I would ask, if you say no, I'm not saying no. Trust me, I think there are ways to get better, and try to point out all the time that when we are talking about the Bills, we are often talking about ways to, of course, win the Super Bowl, not just be a good team. Now, you're definitely a good team. And their pass rush looks improved, and their secondary looks improved, and they have a million injuries. That is also true. But can they win as presently constructed? I think the answer is yes. They can beat any team. They might be underdogs in certain games. They were underdogs last week against Kansas City, and they won that game. If they play a perfect game, can they beat the Lions? They did last year. Could they beat the Eagles? We'll find out in a couple months. They play Philadelphia for the first time since they went to Philly and lost in overtime, right? So I don't feel like there's a team that really outclasses them. Of course, there's a team they lose to all the time. That's Kansas City in the playoffs. There's New England, who beat them by 3. Do we think they can't beat New England? So if you still think they can get the one seed, which I do, It's not often that we watch a team get the one seed and think that team is not championship caliber. Maybe the Titans back in the Tannehill days, right, when they're the one seed, and then they lost in their first playoff game. So do you think it's a championship roster? 803-0550. If wide open phone lines for you until we get to Sal at 7 o'clock. Do you think it's a championship roster? Now that you've had, you know, a little bit of time to, if you were hot, which I think a lot of people might have been hot about the trade deadline, myself included. I sat here all day yesterday and said, I can't understand why these teams wouldn't do more. And the Bills GM said, we tried to do many things. And I do take him at his word. So 803-0550 is the phone number. Right now at the Twitter poll, 57% are saying they do not think it is a championship roster. I don't know if those that 57% is splitting hairs all the way down to Josh could win, but it's not a championship roster. I don't know. If you're voting no, you can tell me why. If you're voting yes, you can tell me why. I like to say all the time, anytime you criticize the Bills for their build or what they've done, or I'll say for myself here, anytime I do, I then want to almost always follow up with, they can still win because I'm not one to frequently be betting against Josh Allen. And when they get to the playoffs, like, we'll see if he can save his very best, if the pieces around him can come together, if they can get healthy enough. Defensively, I kind of think they have enough pieces. If they were fully healthy, it would be crazy good. But they've got their injuries, right? Hoyt's not coming back. And Oliver's going to take some time, and we'll see about the other injuries. Christian Benford popped up on the injury report. That's not – we don't like to see that. So we'll talk about it with Sal coming up at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, your phone calls, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Benford limited with a groin injury. Terrell Bernard limited. Josh Palmer limited. And then not practicing yesterday, Joey Bosa, he picked up a wrist injury. I saw a video where he picked it up in the game and kind of waved people off. Same with James Cook. He got hurt during the game and kept going. You know, he did not practice because of an ankle injury. A.J. Epenesa did not practice due to a concussion. Taron Johnson out again, the groin that kept him out last week. And Daquan Jones, calf, did not practice. So there's your practice update. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I mentioned the clues I picked up from being in that press, so we're going to play one for you in a minute here. Let's get to Larry and Clarence. Larry, good morning. You're on WGR.
How are we doing, guys?
We're good.
First, to answer the question, I do think that they do have a championship roster the way it's constructed. Again, injuries happen every single year. It would have been nice if they could have made a trade to secure up some of those areas. I do think, not to get on the wide receiver train this early, but I do think they needed a wide receiver train or a wide receiver. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion on something. Because it seems like every year, whether it's free agency, whether it's the trade deadline, that there's always the press conference. Well, we tried to get this guy. We tried to get DeAndre Hopkins. We tried to make a trade for Jacoby Myers. We tried. Does that kind of put like being almost in more of a negative light where, like, I don't want a guy that keeps trying to get stuff but doesn't accomplish it? That would be like if you guys kept saying, well, we tried to get Tom Brady as a guest. We tried to get Bill Parcells as a guest. We just couldn't get him. I mean, after a while, don't you feel like if you keep trying and you don't succeed, do you kind of put yourself into a light where why are we keeping you? It's great that you try. You have good intentions to get a wide receiver. You have good intentions to get a defensive tackle or build our depth, but I don't want a guy that can try to do that. I want a guy that can pull the trigger and do that.
Right. The old coffee is for closers kind of routine from Glengarry Glen Ross. Or I'm quoting either that or I'm quoting Yoda, who said, do or do not, there is no try, right? Like, congratulations on trying is you know, do we get there? I feel what you're saying. You don't get participation points for trying to acquire a player. I mean, the Sabres have lived this life of trying to convince a player and trying to make a trade, and they can't do it. They've got some things they've got to change before they'll win those battles. With being here, it's funny. Earlier this week, I kind of joked that if he doesn't make a trade, he's got to give back the sunglasses for the sunglasses meme, because he's been known to be someone that likes to deal. And, you know, he said that yesterday, too. He said if he'd been betting the Bills yes or no to make a trade, he would have lost money because he would have bet that they would. And I don't know how many other GMs would do that. Whether it's the tone and it's just good PR for him to say that he tried, he's on a level, he's admitting defeat, even if it's not a direct result of he lost. He could not get it done, right? You could say it takes two to tango, and Larry, I hear you. I could sit here and say, like, it does take two to tango. Did you not get player X because you balked at an additional third-round pick? Because it's a Super Bowl window, and, you know, if you, Larry, were in the chair, you might want this deal well enough to say, like, I'll give you an additional third-round pick. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to go for it because I've got Josh Allen. The thing I would say is, if my only complaint or little whatever quibble with what Bean said yesterday, it's something that all GMs kind of do. I can remember Tim Murray doing this too, so, like, you know, way back. GMs love to claim sometimes that I'm not going to kill the future. Like, how could the Bills possibly have killed the future? I don't know that that's possible. If they had traded three first-round picks for Garrett Wilson, the Jets say we're not dealing in the division. The Bills say, fine, three first-round picks. We would trade four. I don't think you're allowed to go 4 years in the future. Here's three firsts, Jets. Will you take it? And if they had said yes, does anybody think the Bills' future is killed? Like, in what? It's almost impossible to envision a team killing their future by trading away a couple of assets at the end of a first round or second round or third round or whatever. So I don't really buy that. You might think it's not the smartest approach. You might think there are ways to overspend, and overspending is a way to get into trouble. I get all that. That's fine. But the idea you're going to kill your future. Tim Murray at the deadline was asked about trades, this and that, and he said, I'm not going to trade Sam Reinhart for a rental. Thanks. No one's asking you to. No one thinks that's going to happen. So, right, how would the Bills kill their future? Trading Josh Allen for a punter. What's the next best way to kill their future? I don't know. Trading Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown. The way to kill your future is to trade players off your current team that are good. And I just don't see that really in the cards. The cap is another one, too. Like, you know, he's talking a lot about the cap, and you got to figure the cap this year and the next year and the next year and the next year. And that's not wrong. But it does go up every year, every year. And the Bills already have a lot of money kind of stashed in future years. So that's one of the reasons I would have thought, you know, a trade for like Olave or Brian Thomas Jr. Those guys are cheapish, especially Brian Thomas Jr. He's got this year and then two more years of an entry-level deal. It really all lines up to me that they were after him. That's the guy they would have sought out. And I just think there's so many clues in that press conference that might have been it. 803-0550. But your question, like, if you are, if you're trying but not getting the job done as the GM, is that good enough? Well, that's kind of a mirror of the football team, which is trying to win the Super Bowl but not getting the job done is just trying good enough. You know, if you give it your best shot, you give it your best shot. Yesterday I had a lot about the contenders not doing anything. And I sat here and said, I don't understand why these teams wouldn't push in a little bit more. And I still do feel that way, but I feel like Bean's message at yesterday's press conference was one that was fair, honest. At least it felt honest. It resonated with me. Maybe I'm a sucker for that, the PR, but he kind of validated anybody that wanted them to get better by also saying he wanted them to get better. And he talked about the receivers a bunch. In there, he referred to some of their receivers that would need to step up and guys that want more targets, which is not a surprise. He also said he's got, you know, 28 years in the league. Show me a receiver that doesn't want the ball. That works for me too. I'm sure everybody in this offense, this everybody eats offense, wants the ball a little bit more. And is someone going to step up? We've kind of been waiting for that for 2 years. It's Kincaid and Shakir, and you're kind of waiting for somebody else, and that has not yet happened at the receiver position. Maybe Josh Palmer's, you know, waiting to break out. Bean also brought up James Cook as a potential idea there. So, anyway, thanks, Larry, for the phone call. 803-0550. Do you believe it's a championship roster? I've got the clip to play for you when we get back. I'll lay out the clues for you here, and you let me know if I'm crazy. Have I convinced you two? Joe, Owen, what do you think? Do you think he was saying without saying, I was trying to get Brian Thomas Jr. and it didn't work?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of on the wagon now.
Okay. I convinced.
Yeah, I mean, everything you laid out there.
I'm convinced you?
Yeah, points
I'm,
to.
I'm just one of these like Facebook videos that ties together three things and says,
right.
This is clearly
find
what happened.
Find the through line, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, it. Even if it wasn't necessarily Brian Thomas, it to me is, you can't deny he was looking for something big.
Big. I think it's big. I don't think you walk away mad unless you were thinking you might land something big.
And you don't speak about we had more money that we could have made. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot there that I think, you know, kind of got through the facade of everything's good. Like obviously he's comfortable with where they're at for the most part, but I think there is a sense of disappointment that they didn't get better yet on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that I think came through.
Just never mind. Thought maybe I'd come up with some funny quip about trading mayonnaise for something, but no, just whatever. Who cares? Who needs it? Who needs it? No Bills trades. Reaction. 803-0550, the number, Sabres in Utah tonight. Here is Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you guys this afternoon?
Good, thank you for calling us.
I just was calling because I was listening to the other caller talk about the need for a wide receiver in order to beat the Chiefs. And I just wanted to respectfully disagree. I think when you see the Chiefs being beat in the postseason, we've seen it, I know the Bengals game, but I'm specifically thinking of the Eagles, Super Bowl, and Tampa. The way that they won those games is because they were all over Patrick Mahomes. And so while I would have loved a receiver, I think it would have been helpful. I think when you look at those blueprints, to me, it made more sense to try to get a defensive end or D-line, splashy D-lineman rather than and to get the receiver. And I think that's what Bean's sort of leaning into. You know, obviously we don't know what calls were made. And then my little hot take here is maybe beating the Chiefs in the regular season was finally what actually helps to beat them in the postseason because maybe they don't make it into the postseason. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Sure. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, you know, I think they've leaned into trying to build a defense to do what the Eagles and Tampa did to the Chiefs in Super Bowls since the 2020 AFC Championship game loss. That has been maybe front and center. They used every premium asset. They did use Kincaid and Coleman, like their top assets in back-to-back years, on pass catchers, if not, you know, not actual receivers in both cases, but still. And they've not ever gotten there. I would say that this past Sunday was as close as they've come to looking like they could do that. Disrupt, especially up the middle, the way Hoyt was being used. But now that's, to me, pretty seriously compromised by both Oliver and Hoyt being out for the balance of the season here. Hoyt gone until next year. Oliver may be back if they get a rematch with the Chiefs or anybody in the playoffs. So they've been working at that for 5 years now and have not ever really gotten there. There's some bad luck in there because Von Miller looked to be tracking towards being someone who could do that for them, and then he got hurt. And they've had other injuries and yada, yada. But the last 2 years, this is where I'm here to tell you again, the last 2 years they needed one more play from their offense in spots against the Chiefs, where their defense was terrible and got run over, but they were down by 3 or 4 points in both cases. 3 points in both cases, right? Or was it last year 4? I don't remember.
3.
Either way, you're a field goal away from tying, a touchdown away from taking the lead in the closing stages of the fourth quarter, and they did not have one more play. And that's where having Brian Thomas Jr. at your disposal or Rashid Shaheed for the whole game even. I don't know that he's going to be my go-to guy on a fourth down or something in the AFC title game. But they have not had enough to make one more play there. And you know, you sometimes will say back to me that, you know, it's maybe not fair to ask the offense for more in games where they have performed so well. And I might be guilty of just looking at the final sequence of the game and saying that's what cost me the game. I just know that they have been of a mind to build the defense to disrupt Mahomes and have missed badly on it until Sunday. And now I think maybe the key guy in that whole thing is out for the year, and they didn't do anything here to supplement the offense so they can score one more touchdown in these scenarios I'm painting, or do what they just did on Sunday to Mahomes. They lost the secret pass key they found to doing that and did nothing to supplement their team. And I don't know. That might either be egregious or ineffectual, because they'll just get there and find someone else to rush on the inside and do what Hoyt was doing, and they'll do just as well. I don't know. But I think there's a strong case to make for either of those two positions being supplemented today, and neither happened.
I don't really know. I don't want to dwell on this now because people are waiting to talk about the topic of the day here. But I just want to say about the point you make all the time about how the season's ended. Last year, fair enough, their last play got blown up. If they had somebody like you're talking about running wide open down the left sideline, I don't even think it matters. Like, Allen is flushed right, and then it ends up all out of Kincaid's hands. The year before is Allen's fault. And then the last play there is he gets blown up again and has to run to the right. And I'm not sure Davante Adams is really going to make a difference on those two plays. And those are the only two games you could possibly say this about, unless you just want to drop one touchdown into anywhere along the span of a game in the box score, like 13 seconds. You know, maybe they should have been up earlier by more or something like that. Otherwise, the Bengal game didn't end like that. 13 seconds didn't end like that. The first AFC Championship wasn't even close. It's these two games, and I think in those specific instances, to me, it's just the point isn't so much I don't have wide receiver one. I did have Stephon Diggs running alone across the middle of the field in the first example. I said I didn't want to dwell on it. We can drag this out anytime you want. We've done it all summer.
It's evergreen.
They can't get Mahomes on the ground. They can't pick him off in all those playoff games. And that's the span of the game. And that's why I would say defense is more about why they lose. Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Great. Thanks.
Disclaimer, I'm a huge Rashid Shaheed fan, so I was hoping they would get him. But I just wanted to just touch on the evolution or the de-evolution of this offense. I mean, back in 2020 when Josh Allen arrived on the scene, what were we doing? We were putting three receivers, four receivers on the field, winging it, throwing it, getting all these offensive touchdowns. Okay, so now we go through, Dorsey gets fired. Now we have Brady. Now we want to throw three tight ends on the field, okay? And then we want to supplement three tight ends with a bunch of guys that are probably threes as a receiver on most teams. Well, good teams anyway. I bet there's some bad teams that would want a three as their number one, but I don't think you're a Super Bowl contender if you're doing that kind of thing. So, Coleman, bust. He's a bust. Let's just be real about that. Coleman is a bust. And Samuel, he's washed. Shakir's probably your only good receiver. He's a two, playing as a one right now. And Elijah Moore's non-existent.
What are we getting at? What's the bottom line here?
When that first down needs to be made, when that touchdown needs to be made, other than, like, Dalton Kincaid, who do you trust?
Well, that's still everybody's question every day.
That's it. I don't have an answer for you other than Kincaid and Cook and Allen. I mean, I want to trust Allen. But what? But you're not wrong to say he missed in that KC home game. So I just haven't had enough. I love that you use evolution and de-evolution. I finally got around to watching the Devo documentary on Netflix, and it's great. Hearing de-evolution today just made my day. Anyway,
was Devo really short for that?
Yes, that's what the whole thing was
really
about. Yes, they were about the de-evolution of the human race.
There should have been two E's then.
Yeah, well,
like Debo.
Yeah, right.
Is he short? Is that short for something? I don't know. Yep. All right. Thanks, Mike. We go round and round.
Mario is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I don't want to beat a dead horse too much. Obviously, little bomb didn't
go after. What we're here for. I'm guessing you might actually want to beat the dead horse.
I kind of do too. That's what today is for. Let's beat some horses.
You called us, man.
I cut the horse's head off and put it in Brandon Bean's bed. A little Godfather reference.
Well, yeah, this really took a turn.
I think the issue I have, guys, is, you know, I go back to Bean's comments before the season when he was yelling at Jeremy and Joe. And he made a point to say, you know, the receiver room is better this year than it was last year. What more do you guys want from me? So they must really think that with Palmer and now bringing in Gabe, and that might be what they want to ride with, and what they was out there wasn't that good for them to make a move. But my issue is with Bean, why does he seem hell-bent on stockpiling these picks 28 through 32 as if he's going out there and getting these players every year and then – he has no problem trading out of those spots when the draft day comes. So I don't really understand why he refuses to throw draft capital at players, even if they're a rental that can come and help your team now. I mean, you mean to tell me, I don't know if he tried, but you mean to tell me we wouldn't give up a fourth and a sixth for Myers or a fourth and a fifth for Shaheed, even if it was to get them over the hump this year? I question his ability. It used to be fire McDermott and all that chatter, and now you can see, okay, well, is the problem really with your general manager who seems to be running the Bills like he's who's the Oakland A's manager? Was it – he was Bean too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Moneyball guy?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, where he was all about the analytics and making sure he had enough money to build the team for the future, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's the same Bean. Maybe he's in disguise. I don't know. So just want to get your guys' take on – if you think Brandon Bean could be someone to be in a hot seat potentially if this thing kind of blows up in his face.
What would qualify as blowing up in his face? Losing like they've been losing the last few years?
I guess.
Blowing up in one's face? I don't know if that qualifies.
We're starting to sound like we're crazy. They are the Super Bowl favorites or no? What is left to say? We're starting to sound like the Bills are the Dolphins. I think, to me, we're starting to sound like we've gone mad. He would never trade out of this draft pick. He's done it. He's gone up. He's gone down. He's done it lots of times. He traded a third for Amari Cooper last year. He drafted pass catchers with his first pick two of the last 3 years. Is it about effort? It's only partly about effort. You got to execute, but we're starting to sound like we just don't remember any of those things. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, great show, guys. This is great. Hey, one question I have is, are there any other opportunities to add a player towards the end of the year? Don't some guys get bought out or quit get a cut? Or does that ever happen? I can't remember. I know it does in the NBA. And the other thing that I'm looking at is, you know, we got a lot of guys locked in moving forward, and I mean are they looking ahead a little bit to next year in the new stadium and want to make sure that they got, you know, capital to make some moves and make sure they're putting out a good team out there? Because I feel like they're good enough right now to get, you know, definitely make the playoffs, and, you know, if things fall right, looks like they're scheming a little bit better to make it to the championship again. So, you know, just want to hear if you know anything about adding players. Appreciate it.
It happens.
Yeah, it's waivers basically. So I wouldn't expect it to be anyone impactful, but, you know, I guess conceivably it could happen.
This was Dalvin Cook 2 years ago, ending up on Baltimore. Guys that just get cut, bad teams, seasons go south, and then they're waived. But I think it's a matter of order of the standings, like when you get a bid in on somebody like that. So it's like what you said. You shouldn't expect to improve that way.
And like, if you think the Saints are going to decide to cut Chris Olave or something, I would not expect, he doesn't fit the profile of a guy that you would do that with. I wouldn't think. If a player that was going to be impactful was going to get moved, today was the day to do it.
Absolutely. He's not getting cut. He's young and good.
Right.
Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Turns out he wasn't getting traded.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Okay, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. You're talking about beating a dead horse over the head. Tell me this. I want to know why. Okay, you remember when we 3 years ago when we needed a receiver and we traded for Stephon Diggs. Now, all of a sudden, Matt Hallis comes to us. Have Matt Hallis. We got Shakir. We got Curtis Samuel. When we needed those players, we got them. Then all of a sudden, we trade Diggs away. We trade Matt Hallis away. We had Worthy right there for a draft pick, and we traded him to the same team we've been having trouble with jumping over in the playoffs. Why would we do that? If we need these receivers, why would we trade them away? And then we have a chance to get another one, we trade the pick away.
They're not all the same situations, though. Is that Mac Hollins you're trying to say?
I think that's right, yeah.
I mean, is that that's a thing now, is that the Bills didn't keep Mac Hollins? My Chiefs buddy, Davis Maddock, suddenly decided that he thinks Worthy is terrible.
Interesting.
I mean, you got Hairston out here being like, I didn't have to try on half the plays because Worthy was giving away that he didn't expect the ball.
Shh. Right.
I guess we'll never be able to get away from Xavier Worthy, no matter what he looks like. It's just somebody that the Bills didn't want.
They got sick of Diggs, is what happened. Really, yeah. I think. You know, we can argue about his production being dropping off or them restricting his production. Either way, the production wasn't there, and he was a headache, is what happened. I mean, fare ye well. He did a great job the 4 years he was here for them.
Yeah, we might even be getting so far down the road on this one that we're getting right to they should have kept Stephon Diggs, which
right.
Hardly anyone has said since the moment he was traded. Thanks, Jeff. Andrew is next. Hi.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I know we're all kind of going through the different thoughts today. We all kind of wanted to see a trade. We saw Bean make some room on the salary cap. Personally, I was kind of hoping for something like a Harrison Phillips, but thinking about it more, I was all bought in on Olave and those types of things, but I don't think anyone has thought to ask, like, who would actually work with Josh? Like, Josh has some trust. He needs that connection, right? He needs to not just trust himself, but know that whoever he's throwing to is actually going to make the play he needs. And it takes a while for him to kind of bond with a person like that, that he knows he can depend on, you know? And Diggs was that guy. Mac Hollins, you know, he's crazy as hell, but he fit right in right away. But you know what I mean? I think that
There's never a guarantee that it's going to work, that the personalities are going to work, the play styles are going to work, the way a guy moves. I don't know. The biggest thing you need is someone who can get open. That's what he needs to trust. Is this dude going to line up, whether it's zone or man coverage, and beat his guy to the point where the second and a half that I have to decide, or the 2.5 seconds maybe I've got to decide, or if I'm buying time, whatever, but I can hit my back foot and like know that guy is going to beat his guy and I know where he's going to be because he's good. He knows how to run this route and just bing, there it is. That's, you know, chemistry gets developed because the talent is there. And the guy can be trusted. He's open. I'm gonna hit him near his body enough, near his hands enough that he's gonna bring it in. Shakir did not take a long time to develop that with Allen. The first time they're on the field together, he just caught everything that was near him and he trusts him. That's it. He gets open and he trusts him. You just need more of that. So whether that was Brian Thomas Jr. or Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed or whoever, somebody that you can, that's how the trust works. Is he good? Does he get open? That's it.
That's it. Here's Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I had a partner, business partner, who used to say, sometimes the best deal you make is the deal you don't make. And I just don't understand how people can be critical of Brandon Bean when they have no idea what was available and what was being asked of the Bills. I mean, last year they traded for Amari Cooper. They gave up a third-round pick. It wasn't like Amari Cooper was the difference maker. In fact, after the end of the season, Bills don't sign him. No one else signs him. He just sits around, you know. So I honestly don't know how people in a vacuum can comment or be critical of Brandon Bean when they have no clue, no clue what was available and what was being asked of him. Obviously, he weighed the side, you know, each side of this deal, looked at a bunch of things, and decided this doesn't make any sense because they're asking too much or they're not giving enough, or that's really just the flip side of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my view, and I'd be curious to know what you think.
I think, thank you, Matt. I think two things about this. One, it has just become this incredible tidal wave from fans, you know, perhaps somewhat or largely spurred on by what they hear here. The station largely kind of has one view when it comes to receiver. And now you have this tidal wave of takes on how the Bills, it's the sum total. It's not just today. It's the couple of years, couple of drafts, this, and you kind of put it all together like, he just doesn't care about it as much as we, wide receiver, he just doesn't care about it or respect it as much as we want him to. I think it's not just today. You're right. We don't know what went down today, but we know it was nothing. And, oh, yeah, that's typical. You know, people are going to talk like that. The other thing that might be even more relevant, I just think we're all super tense about this. And even when they beat Carolina 40-9, and then pretty much rough up the Chiefs, we're like, it's not good enough. And I'm guilty of that. And I sometimes wonder, like, I guess I would think Bean once in a while would listen to the radio station. I think it's pretty clear that he does. And maybe they all do. Maybe a lot of them do. And I wonder if he, like, what he thinks this really is. Like, is this all Jeremy's fault? Is it yours or mine? Because it's just fan after fan after fan every day, even after blowout wins, complaining about this. And today it's at a peak because it's the deadline, right? Will we do this tomorrow? Oh, my God, I hope not. Will we do this just every day until the season ends? If they win a Super Bowl 10-9, will we do it the next day after the Super Bowl? Will we have megaphones at the parade? You didn't have enough. It'll be like a T-shirt or a billboard. It's the combination of different moments, opportunities that went by the wayside, and then we're just like, oh, my God, this team had better win the Super Bowl. I'm going to die.
Yep.
Touch some grass. I mean, maybe. We do sound a little bit crazy, or a lot, I think.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, how's everybody doing here on a Wednesday? Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Welcome into One Bills Live. Thanks for making us a part of your afternoon. As we have a jam-packed show for you today, not only did head coach Sean McDermott address the media prior to practice today, as the players are back out on the practice field, so too did general manager Brandon Bean on the heels of the trading deadline. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Want to remind you first and foremost, this week's game at the Dolphins, presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Buffalo Bills. And we had a number of things go on this morning. Nothing on the trade deadline concerning the Bills, obviously, but there were some roster moves and there are some practice updates as well. Bills practice updates presented by LECOM, your Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. And this is not news you're going to want to hear, but there are eight players for the Bills not practicing today, and all pretty much noteworthy players. Joey Bosa not practicing today due to a wrist ailment suffered in the game. James Cook not practicing today due to an ankle and foot injury. It was on that play where he got bent back awkwardly at the end of a run play, finished the game, but is sore this week. A.J. Epenesa not practicing, no injury designation given there. We'll wait till the Wednesday injury report. Taron Johnson still dealing with the groin injury, not practicing. Daquan Jones, Shaq Thompson, Joshua Palmer, all of whom missed last week's game, still not practicing here on Wednesday. And Terrell Bernard not practicing as well. As we said, Bills made some roster moves. They signed defensive tackle Fedarian Mathis from the practice squad to the active roster. He played in last week's game, looked pretty good at times. They also signed edge rusher Kingsley Jonathan to the practice squad after he had a tryout yesterday. Nickel corner Takori Couch also signed to the practice squad. He was with the team back in training camp to make room on the practice squad. Linebacker Jimmy Charlo was released. And the ratings are in for the Bills-Chiefs game from Sunday, and to no one's surprise, it killed. Chiefs-Bills delivered CBS its fifth-best Sunday NFL game rating since returning as an NFL partner in 1998. Almost 31 million viewers watched the game. That's also the best Week 9 game on CBS since Colts-Patriots in 2007, when both of those teams entered that game undefeated. The audience peaked on Sunday at 35.2 million viewers. Now you know why they protect those games.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that is a big number. That's a big number.
That's a fat number.
That's a fat number. They're very excited about that.
That's right. Yeah. We do also need to go around the NFL, which is presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. And Bill Belichick and four other head coaches who won Super Bowls are among the nine semifinalists in the coach category for the class of 2026 for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Belichick is in his first year of eligibility after rule changes put in place last year required coaches to be out of the NFL for only one full season before being considered for the Hall. It used to be 5 years. Two-time Super Bowl champ coaches Tom Coughlin, Mike Shanahan, and George Seifert also advanced, along with another Super Bowl winner in Mike Holmgren. Ultimately, one coach will advance for consideration for induction into the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Around the NFL, injury-wise, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn said the team is sorting through the medical opinions on Jaden Daniels, who suffered a dislocated elbow in his non-throwing arm last week. Quinn said the team would announce a plan on how to proceed with the elbow injury Daniels sustained after looking into various medical opinions on how to address the injury. Quinn said there is no timetable for his return to game action, though there remains some hope that Daniels can avoid surgery and return later this year. The Commanders' season's going up in smoke fast here. They can't stop anybody. That's their problem.
Yeah, well, I think their problem came from overestimating how good they were from a year ago when they had a fourth-place schedule in a bad division.
Mm-hmm.
So coming into this year, now it's not a bad division. And
or not as bad.
Not as bad a division. And they're playing a first-place schedule?
Second-place schedule. They were second to the Eagles.
That's right, second to the Eagles. So, and their quarterback seems fragile.
He's small.
And he's not very big. He's a Bryce Young-looking dude, you know. They're just – yeah. They try and play – you got to play quarterback these days. Everything's different. You got to play quarterback like an athlete. Mm-hmm. You got to tuck the ball once in a while, get what you can get, and slide and do all that. That opens you up once in a while for a hit.
And he's taking some.
He's taking some.
Free agent cornerback Asante Samuel Jr. visiting with the Panthers. Samuel was recently medically cleared after undergoing a spinal fusion procedure and will begin visiting potential suitors, starting with the Panthers. The former Chargers star missed most of the 2024 season with a serious neck injury. Meanwhile, the Bucs are still trying to get healthy, and they play the Patriots this week. Chris Godwin, wide receiver, not practicing today, continues to sit with a lingering fibula injury. He came, you know, there was hope coming out of the bye he would be available. He seems to be a long shot to suit up for the Week 10 game against New England. Bucky Irving, their running back, has also been out virtually forever. I know, because he's on my fantasy team. He's got foot and shoulder injuries. They were hoping he would be practicing again coming out of the bye. No such luck. Not practicing today. So he could be sidelined again this week, which would make it more than a month since he last played and suited up for the Bucs. And at this point, if you're not going to play this week, don't play next week either when you play the Bills.
Yeah, right.
Here in Orchard Park. Take your time coming back.
Yeah, this is it's league-wide. This is always part of the conversation when we talk about the league and cover the league. Every team's got this stuff going on. The Bills have ridden that roller coaster, obviously. I mean, it was a big down for Michael Hoyt this last week. But T.J. Sanders is on the horizon. That looks to be getting to the point where it might be a conversation. They're holding these guys out of practice this week. All that huge list that you read of, like, what was it, seven guys. Bosa, Cook, Epinesa, Taron Johnson. Well, Taron we knew about. Daquan Jones we knew about. And Shaq Thompson we knew about already. And Josh Palmer we knew about. So the majority of them we knew going into the game last week that they were, you know, going to be taking it easy.
Right.
Bosa and Cook you knew coming out of the game. So there's really nothing new on this except for maybe A.J. Epinesa.
Yeah, and we didn't get the nature of his injury. There were too many to get the what's what on all of them. So we'll find out when the Wednesday injury report is released later this afternoon. Jam-packed show for you today, and it will begin with General Manager Brandon Bean, who addressed the media. We'll get to his comments in just a second. Also coming your way at the bottom of the hour in about 22, 23 minutes or so, we'll catch up with NFL Network reporter Cameron Wolf. Obviously, he's based down in Miami, so he does cover the Dolphins a lot. We'll get the 411 on the Dolphins this week, as well as his thoughts on the trade deadline deals that happened around the league. Some big names moving off some rosters, most notably the Jets. So we'll get his thoughts on that. After practice, in studio, we'll have one of the guys who's playing like a bull in a china shop lately, Reggie Gilliam, will join us here in studio as the Bills have the number one rushing offense in football and the number one total offense in football, for that matter. And Reggie's had a big hand in it, so it'd be good to catch up with him. So that plus post-practice press conferences at the post-practice podium. So plenty to pass along to you here this afternoon. But we want to begin with Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Obviously, no deals were made with the Bills on trade deadline day. So Brandon Bean explains how this week leading up to trade deadline day unfolded for the Bills and their personnel department. So let's hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean right now.
The easiest way to ask it is just why the lack of inactivity yesterday?
You're right. You don't just have to do them yesterday. You know, you got to... We were talking about it earlier. It's not a store where you can just go in and say, hey, I'll pay $20 and I'll take this player, or I'll take, you know, it takes two to be able to do it. And so, yeah, we're competitive. We're always trying to, not just on the trade deadline, we're always looking, you know, we've made
I think the Amari trade last year, we didn't make it on the deadline. We made it prior to. So we've been looking, having conversations. A lot of those conversations, Jay, people, if they're still seeing how their season's going to go, like several weeks back. And quite frankly, a lot of the conversations are, no, we're not going to move them, we're not going to move them. And then sometimes at the last minute, they agree to move them. Sometimes they stand pat. And you can look, and there's rumors out there, this person's available, that person's available, but then they're not necessarily available, and they don't get moved. And so if you guys just scroll, I'm sure you guys have done it, scroll all the names that are available versus all the names that got traded, the list is this long of available, the list is this short that actually got moved. And so you've got to be willing to find a partner that is willing to do business. Now, we also have a cap. I can't take a $15 million contract and do that, you know, with where we are in the cap. So there are constraints, just like when we go into free agency and I try and warn, hey, we're not going to have but so many dollars. We're not going to be fishing in the deep end of the pond, so to speak. But yeah, I'm still trying to work. There's conversations of, can you eat money, which those deals had to be done. If they were going to change their contract, that had to be done Monday at 4. You can't, you know, it's one of the things I wish the league would fix, is where you can do, some leagues allow you to do that, a sign and trade. So there were certain players after 4 o'clock Monday that I could no longer do. Another part of that is we had a couple of conversions with a couple of our guys to give us a little bit of money to possibly get a few more options once we realized some of them were out of play for us Monday due to our cap. We did not do those, but we had them ready to turn in. You are allowed to do that if we were able to consummate a deal. Unfortunately, it takes two to tango, and we tried on quite a few, and a lot was just, yeah, we're not moving them, and some was, you know, we ran into, you know, a couple teams in our division were trading and you know, couldn't get a lot of interest there.
Right or wrong, people are going to view this as a belief on your part that you have a championship roster, because that's what the goal is here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate assumption?
Yeah.
What gives you that belief?
We're 6-2, and I've been to the Super Bowl a couple of times. I've seen us be in AFC Championship games. You don't get to AFC Championship games without having a championship roster. And I know what that looks like. I mean, without going through position by position of where we're at. Now, we can only afford so many injuries. We can trade for 5 All-Pros, but that doesn't guarantee you're going to get them injured. I mean, we traded for Amari last year, and he dinged his wrist up to the point it needed a cast for weeks. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, we try and build this roster to not need a trade, okay? Because these guys are learning the playbook, especially at a wide position of wide receiver. They're learning that all spring, assuming you got them in the spring or you've had them before. And that playbook is being built up, and then game plans are pulled off of that each week by your opponent. And so it's not as easy as, hey, trade for player receiver X, drop him in, and he's just going to run with the rest of them. They're out of, like, the two-minute packages. They're out of certain parts of your game plan just because the volume. Otherwise, you would take the whole – if you made the other 10 players have to come down to their knowledge of the playbook, you'd kind of limit what you can do offensively. So – there are certain positions that it's easier to plug a player in, and some are a little harder. Those are all part of it. Doesn't mean we wouldn't do it. We've obviously traded for receivers before, and, you know, I've been here. This is season 9, right? We're usually very active. I'm always active. We put a lot of work in. Sometimes you look back at, you know, when you go home last night and feel like, damn, that was a waste of time. You know, no, it's not all. Some of these guys that we were really grinding on the last couple of weeks, some of them will be free agents at the season's end. So you kind of get a jump on how you view them and whether you have interest. But the trade deadline's hard
because you're trying to be, what is the fit? What is their mental capacity? You know, you see talented players that have been in systems for years and it took them a little time to get going, but now they're rolling. But that doesn't mean you can drop them right in your system and they pick up right kind of where they left off.
Monday and Tuesday, were there any deals where you might have been able to get across the finish line if you would have given up maybe more than you wanted to, pick-wise or anything like that? Because I think that's one thing where fans are talking about, like, give as much as you can to get this player, X player, X player. Were there any of those situations, or was it more about the teams just not wanting to make that player available?
I mean, listen, any player is available at a certain price, Matt. Like, other than, I mean, unless you're trading for their franchise quarterback or, you know, maybe, you know, Cleveland, you know, Miles Garrett, but like most any player, 99% of the players are available for a price. You saw that yesterday with some talented players, you know, in our division getting moved. But you also have to understand we have a salary cap and we have to hit on these picks. So, yeah, I mean, my job is to not be reckless with this role. And it's easy to say. It's not fantasy football. It's not. And fantasy football is awesome for what all it brings to our game. But this is not fan. There's so many things, ramifications of cost and draft picks. And if you trade for a $25 million player, if you have an extensive knowledge of our cap and where it's at, not just in 26, but 27, 28, you're forcing yourself into a really tough position here in a couple years. And so those also are part of the format. It doesn't mean we wouldn't do it, but you also have to say, if you do that, you can have them for probably 26 if we, you know, kick the can down for a little bit more, but it's come and due where you're going to have to walk in there and I have to tell you, yeah, we had to trade this player we really like. Yeah, we had to release this player that we like. And so it's, you can't make decisions in a vacuum or in a silo. They all have long-term effects. Yeah, I went home as mad as any other fan or as mad. Like, I wanted to do things. I'm always wanting to do things to make this team better. And, listen, there may be a player or two this week. We added Jordan Phillips, played for us, made plays in the AFC Championship game for us last year. He was not on our roster at the trade deadline. Like, I ain't giving up. But I also believe in our roster, too. And to Jay's question, I do believe we can win a championship with this roster. And I build it and we build it in the spring and through the summer. We're trying to, when we cut the 53, I want at that point have the best team. I don't really want to need the trade deadline. But I'm always going to look, and if we're injured somewhere or we think there's a piece that is a clear upgrade, seamless transition, and we've shown that. We've done that year after year. We've made moves that we can. But as I said earlier, I cannot force someone to trade me a player. It takes two. And there are guys that I'm looking, I'm like, man, I would think that guy might be available. He's going to be a free agent, and their team's not doing well, and maybe they would want a draft cap, and they are standing pat. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know what the conversations were regarding wide receiver yesterday, but now that it's gone, do you consider Gabe Davis the option if you need to upgrade your wide receiver? Is he the guy that you're looking to, and why you even signed him in the first place back here?
Yeah, I mean, Gabe, it's been fun to watch him for, you know, even before he started practicing last week, Sal. You know, when we signed him, he was clearly injured still from his surgery last year in Jacksonville, and it's a long rehab process. And he, you know, while he was running, he wasn't nearly ready to play football. He's worked his tail off to get where he's got. Honestly, maybe quicker than I thought necessarily to play football. And I thought last week he had a nice week. Now he's still working through it, and we got to make sure he, you know. It's new from running in a pool, running on the field, to actually suiting up, cutting, DBs pushing on you, all that stuff. So we're still working that out. But Gabe, when Gabe is Gabe, I mean, he signed a nice free agent deal. He had a lot of success here. So, of course, if we think there's at the right time, of course we would look at that in as an option for us.
Unfortunate injuries to your rookie class, but what you've seen from Max, what you've seen from the guys on defense especially, how much does that give you belief that you do have the depth on that side of the ball? And just in terms of where you project them to be, not right now, but several weeks from now when you're getting ready for playoff football?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good to see Max get out there and have success, and the smile on his face can make everybody excited to come to work. I mean, he's just so genuine. But what a tough deal he had, and he's going to get better. It's not all going to be perfect. He's facing some tough players. He's going to have tough matchups this week, but and to come. So he's still a rookie, a real rookie. He's barely played a full game, maybe if you add up his total reps in two games. You know, TJ did some good things to work on. Obviously out right now. Hopefully to get him back here real soon. He's eligible next week, so fingers crossed. We'll see what that looks like. Landon's working hard and is doing well. The special teams piece kind of sometimes comes in at the end there, but he's coming, and you know, getting Hoyt back was really good. Probably was hurting his opportunities, so you know, he'll get some opportunities down the stretch to step up, you know, with that injury. And Deion's done some really good things for us as well, played a lot of snaps, started games, you know, and he'll continue to get better. Hancock's played in there, Jackson Hall's, like, you know, Dorian Strong was really doing well. You know, that's a tough one, you know, losing him. And so probably leaving somebody out. Chase Luntz, been up for a game, been a backup. But, yeah, I mean, they're still young. It's hard as a rookie in this league. But I think, you know, you like where some of these guys are trending, and we're going to need them, you know, down the stretch, even without injuries. But, you know, the injury bug has hit us here a little bit this season, and so I'm knock on wood. Hopefully that's coming to an end.
Along those lines, Brandon, do you view the injury list the way that it is, but with the knowledge that at some point you're going to be getting these guys back, ideally? Did that maybe factor into your thinking yesterday in terms of I'm not going to force something here because we know 2, 4, 6 weeks down the road we're going to have this guy back?
Not really. I'm just looking at it. If there's a piece that makes sense for us, you know, if to your question, if I think a guy's coming back in a month, I'm always looking at someone else could go down. And competition brings out the best in all of us, whatever our profession is. And so, no, if it made sense, I was trying to do it. I mean, candidly, I would have lost money yesterday on the Bills doing a move. Like if you were in Vegas. I know we're not supposed to talk about gambling, but yeah.
All right, that's Brandon Bean. And I don't know what you thought, Steve. We were both sitting there live watching him. He just seemed a bit disappointed about how yesterday went for him and his personnel department. I mean, he looked a little dejected that he wasn't able to augment and help the roster.
It's obvious when that day started yesterday, he thought he was going to make a deal. He thought there was going to be a deal out there that would make it. And if you put yourself on the human side of it, you put yourself in the GM spot, and it's your job to make the team as good as you can. You want to help. And this, man, this is awesome. It's your chance to do it. Right, it's a trade deadline. Everybody's kind of got their antenna up. You're making calls everywhere, and you don't get to help. Right? Yeah, it's got to be disappointing. I was surprised. He said he admitted that he was surprised he couldn't get a deal done. He was surprised, and I think probably it sounds like from the reports, and he didn't say anything like this, but the reports say that there were a couple of division teams, most notably probably the Jets and the Dolphins, that they didn't want to deal inside their division.
Yeah,
so they
which is not
they
surprising.
Deal, which is smart on their part.
And there was also a report that they were talking to the Titans about Calvin Ridley.
Right.
And there were also reports that they talked to the Raiders about Jacoby Myers. So
right.
none of those things really materialized or came to fruition. And, yeah, he looked genuinely disappointed.
Bills fans, I mean, we've had the conversations about guys in the division that we know. We've seen all of Garrett Wilson and the like, and, you know, Quinnen Williams, you know, even. You kind of forget that the Jets and Dolphins are never going to give you any edge like that.
Well, especially when you're the team that's been at the top of the division the last 5 years.
Oh, right. Well, that's right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
How we doing? Happy Wednesday.
Is it?
A little hump day.
Eh.
It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
You know what? I think
it's not the worst in the world.
I think this is a perfect little thing. I'm glad you brought up hump day. Maybe I should just play the Humpty Dance.
The Humpty Dance?
Knowing that two people sitting around us right now don't know what that song is. Do you know what the Humpty Dance is?
I have a vague idea of the Humpty Dance. There we go. Okay, I did know what it was. I did know what it was. There we go. So, yeah, happy Wednesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, it is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills do not do anything at the trade deadline. They did not make it a boring day. We'll get to that as the morning rolls along. And the Sabres lose again in overtime. They keep picking up points, but when they play 3-on-3, it's not a great watch.
I have mixed reactions about that so bad.
We'll get to that as we roll along here. Sal Capaccio is going to jump on at 10:30. We'll have him for 10:30 to 11 as well, so we'll get all of the nitty-gritty on what's to come for the injury report and everything for the Bills, and then also what we saw yesterday, which was the Bills really didn't do anything. They do move the Taron Johnson money to next year. They open up some cap space. And then there really, I would say, weren't really many rumblings. There was a little bit there with Curtis Samuel and Von Miller for Washington. They might go do that. Mm-hmm. That was like the last hour of the deadline.
Right.
I know afterwards was a little bit of Calvin Ridley stuff. But ultimately, they stand pat, which, to be perfectly honest, I'm not furious. I'm not ready to, you know, throw everything out a window. I am a little surprised with just all the injuries on defense. Wide receiver was the desire and the dream. Defense made a lot of sense just due to personnel and guys that have picked up injuries. I am a little surprised they didn't do anything.
I thought yesterday my dream target was more or less Calais Campbell,
mm-hmm.
and I was curious to see what would happen about that because he is that type of player. He plays D-tackle. He can play D-end. You know, he gives you a little bit of that versatility that Hoyt had for you before his injury. But like you, I'm surprised there is nothing. Wasn't surprised about receiver at all. I was ready for that dream to be dead while we were talking about this yesterday. And then they send out the Everybody Eats tweet.
Yeah, the Manja Manja tweet, yeah.
Which we didn't see near the end of our show. And it made so much sense. But at the same time, yeah, that would have just further solidified my stance on, no, they're not trading for a wide receiver. They were never trading for a wide receiver. You will get Gabe Davis and you will like it.
It looks to be the way they're going.
But it was defensive line that I was surprised nothing did happen. And you know what would have been cool? If the Jets weren't in our division.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just was having so many emotions about the Jets. As somebody that is a draft junkie, love what the Jets did yesterday. I know the joke will be the last time they had all of these picks, they got guys like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams in the I know. But they botched the quarterback. They botched the head coach. You've got to start over. But they've got three firsts in 27, and they've got two firsts and 2 seconds in 26. Like, that's just cool if you're a Jets fan in a bad season, in just a disaster wasteland. That's cool. But as I'm watching Sauce Gardner go for two firsts to Indy, and then Quinnen Williams leaves for a first and a second to Dallas, I'm like, Garrett Wilson, let's get after it. Let's go. And it's just, you have to have the reminder of what they're asking for is probably a first and more. And then you add in the fact that you're in the division. They're going to probably hope this is a quick turnaround with all of that high-end draft capital they're going to get. They're not looking at you as, whatever, by the time we get good, Allen's retired. No, they're probably looking at you as, we'll be good in 2 years to get them. Why would we give them a 25-year-old receiver that we do like?
And that's the shame in it. Why couldn't it have been another team imploding that wasn't in the Bills division? Because we saw, like, a lot of us saw the report yesterday about how, yeah, the Jets were not entertaining any calls from division rivals. So that would mean that the Bills and Patriots probably were thinking about acquiring, and then the Jets said,
no.
Why are we helping you?
Get away. Block this
number. Step off.
Lose this number.
Step off. Impolitely.
with like, levels of disrespect, man. Yeah.
Yes. So that's the real shame in all of it is, man, I wish it was just a team that wasn't in the division that was imploding on itself and having a fire sale. Because, nothing would have told me. I even said it yesterday because Jalen Waddle was brought up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Is Miami going to do that? No.
Miami's not going to look at the team that's been punching them in the face for 6 years and go, okay, you could have them.
And then we'll play each other on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's where the only cool thought for me was, could you, you just would stay in Miami. But no, they don't do anything.
Not a singular chance in hell.
Yeah.
The Jets are going to do the same thing. No, you've been lording over us for the last 6 years. Step off. Get out.
I just wish they could have made any deal with New Orleans, I think, especially. New Orleans, I went into yesterday thinking they need to kind of do, not to the extent that the Jets did, where they just all of the picks. I mean, they had the higher-end talent, let's be honest here. But I thought New Orleans would really go into it and just try to get as much talent as they could. They are not a well-built roster at the moment. And so just try to get as much draft capital as they could. It's Shaheed and Trevor Penning. That's who they move off
and
of.
And Penning, I was a little surprised he even got traded in the first place. Well, mostly because I don't
Chargers,
think he's
Yeah, it's Chargers' good. Desperation of Alt and Slater are out for the rest of the year, so it's like, oh, we need somebody because
mostly
you see
because
how bad
I think
the
that
offense
guy's
gets.
Bad.
Yeah, well, he's not good. But and, so they do that. But Olave stays. Carl Granderson, who I was kind of starting to look at yesterday, just because 28,
right.
He's very good in the beginning of the year. Maybe there's something there. I know Von Miller was kind of the same thing for Washington, having 4 sacks in 6 games. Maybe there's something there.
I got a little bit nervous about Washington yesterday.
The Deebo Samuel stuff, too.
The Deebo Samuel stuff, but also Von Miller, because, again, it turns into the joke of the year. reloading itself. If you're in Brandon Bean's contact list, you're never leaving.
Yeah.
Like, that joke would have been reloaded for everybody. And even now, a lesser extent, who are the players that they're working out? Kingsley Jonathan, Casey Tuhill. Okay. And
yeah.
I do think it is different for practice squad players versus, you know, reacquiring Von Miller in a trade. I think there's a different level of potential outrage on that sort of thing.
So, following the Bills not doing anything at the trade deadline, and I mentioned yesterday, and I do still stand with this, you add in yesterday not doing anything, you add in the Michael Hoyt injury. This is where I said it took pretty much all the wind out of my sails from the Kansas City win. And I'm not saying they're a bad team, but all of the, all right, that's your best game. Like, let's go. I don't even finish the game in the super happiest mood because Hoyt goes down. And then you add in, they don't do anything at the trade deadline. I will tell you, going into this weekend where they probably should beat up Miami, it probably should be a win. They go to 7-2. It's not that I think they're not a Super Bowl caliber team. Vegas would tell you they still are. I'm still waiting to see an elite team in the AFC really establish itself because, look, I know Indy did what they did. They also got bullied by Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh proved you get a jump on them early. They
don't respond well.
They cannot win outside of the script that they set up, which is we're going to run the ball on you, and Daniel Jones will make timely plays, and we're going to let our defense suffocate the rest of the way.
And so I'm still waiting for that elite team to arrive. I think they match up beautifully against Kansas City. You see that time and time again in the regular season. It doesn't hit in the postseason, I know, but there's a reason why they keep beating them in the regular season. They do match up well with them.
It is the one team that consistently beats Kansas City in some sort of capacity every year.
But, man, it's just you can pound the Hoyt injury with not doing anything yesterday. I am just kind of sitting here going, like, it just, like, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And again, it didn't need to be a major move. I don't think Carl Granderson's going to all of a sudden have a bunch of people going, well, now they're winning the Super Bowl. But it was just, okay, you picked him an injury, you pivoted. You know, now, all right, we've got to go here. Now I'm starting to look like, okay, is Solomon going to take up a much bigger role with Hoyt down? I know he played quite a bit towards the end of the Kansas City game. Are we going to get anything from Landon Jackson? Or is that redshirt year going to continue?
Quite frankly, it is going to look like one of the most infuriating picks that they've had in a while if Landon Jackson doesn't see the field after this. That's the thing. Like, if he doesn't do much when he's on the field, it's one thing, I guess. It's still probably just as infuriating now that I think about it. But if he's still a game day inactive with all the injuries that have happened on the defensive line, that's a bad use of a pick. Not necessarily on the player, on the GM thinking that, oh, you have a chance to do an investment pick in the third round of a stacked defensive draft class. So it's either you misdiagnosed the caliber of player that Landon Jackson is, or you invested a pick to have a redshirt year in the third round.
And the Bills have done this before. Epinesa kind of is, like, both famous and infamously a redshirt year, his rookie year. He's kind of developed into a pretty darn good player. He's up there with the pressure rates this year. The edge rushers for the Bills have been really good, most stats-wise would tell you, all year. Terrell Bernard also was this as well. So it has worked for them. But in the window they're in, it is also incredibly infuriating that one of their top three players, you kind of just know he's not going to be on the field. Or at least the Bills seem to have an understanding he just won't be on the field.
And that just seems like a weird – it just seems weird. That's all. At this point for me, like, you need to see him on the field because he needs to get some kind of reps under him if he's going to be able to develop, right? That's probably what I would be thinking on this sort of thing. I don't know. It's a little baffling to me. But when it comes to what you said about taking the wind out of your sails, I don't know if that's the same thing happening for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as aggravated about the lack of a trade deadline acquisition. I'm still a little surprised there was no defensive addition. I also gave up on it when I learned of what little cap space the Bills had initially before a couple days ago. And while most of your contracts are paid out or they're already halfway paid through, prorated, so you could make trades and acquire players, I still looked at it as there's still not a great opportunity there. Then they move some cap around. I'm like, okay. So they clearly are showing they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. And then they didn't. So it was more or less, I guess it was a failure. It was not an unwillingness to do it. It was just the execution wasn't there. Or the price was something that they ultimately were not willing to pay. And that's how it ends. But you don't move that money around just to sit on your hands. That's just not true. So that's the one part we can absolutely check off is Brandon Bean did not say that he was completely satisfied with the roster in its entirety. You don't move that money around without thinking of adding somebody. So it is not out of a lack of trying. And that much I will commend. But I'm also not all that peeved about it either. Again, because I resigned myself to this. Because it was going to be tough with the cap gymnastics that they already had to do. This team also, their biggest problem, other than the fact that they keep adding injuries to a defense that has not deserved it at all, is it's those guys on the defensive side of the ball that got extensions need to be better. Rousseau has been kind of getting back to it.
It seems like he's coming along.
He has smoothed out the edge presence
as a whole, yeah.
He has smoothed out the start of his season where he was almost on a milk carton. Benford has not been the same player as pre-extension. Terrell Bernard looks lost out there. I don't know what you're doing with that all of a sudden. He looks lost in pass coverage, which is usually his biggest benefit for you. He's part of the missed tackle issues. As a matter of fact, what was it, last week we're hearing rumblings about maybe he's getting benched after an extension? That would seem deadly for a defense with championship aspirations, right? It has to do with the fact that as of right now, the extensions that you handed out that weren't James Cook, they've all kind of had some disappointing returns on a varying degree. Khalil Shakir, Jeremy pointed it out. He has, what, 45 air yards on his 38 catches or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, how did Jeremy describe him? He's a running back.
It's like, and that one's not anything that he can necessarily do to fix it. That's play calling. It's play calling and it's, you know, what routes are you being told to run? Okay, I can't really do much there. Cook obviously has been the slam dunk of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? I've got Benford not playing up to his usual standard. I've got Rousseau kind of fixing it right now. I'm kind of getting a little bit more of the positive results from Gregory Rousseau. Good, because at the start of the year, he was probably the biggest disappointment. And again, Terrell Bernard. That extension is currently, the way he's been playing this year, that's ghastly. It's almost a horrifying extension at this point. That if he keeps playing like this, people are going to be looking for, okay, where's the first out on the contract?
Yeah, you're going to get the uncomfortable conversation of, all right, when can we get out? When can we get out of this?
So he has to play better, a lot better, and I'm pretty sure he knows it.
We will see. They are into the second half of the year. To be fair on the defense, they've had maybe their two best performances in back-to-back weeks off the bye. Maybe that's McDermott playing calling plays. Maybe it's just better players are available now. The athletes are there. I mean, they've kind of changed up the safety room with Poyer and Hancock kind of balancing that act. Max Harrison being in. So we'll see. I mean, also along with that, you know, we mentioned Landon Jackson, but TJ Sanders. Hopefully he comes back healthy, and if he does and they start to see real returns for a second-round pick that they traded up for –
that will help.
That will help, yeah.
It might just have to do with you do believe that there is more meat on the bone with the roster that you have, and they're not playing up to the potential that they should.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you didn't overpay for an acquisition. There's a difference between sitting on your hands and not wanting to overpay. And I think that's what the Bills did here. You move the cap around to prepare yourself for an addition. Remember the joke that we said yesterday about the Jacoby Myers one? Ring, 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 ring. Hi, this is Raiders.
Right.
What's the price for Jacoby Myers? I want a third. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Like, we're done.
That could be what the conversation was.
Absolutely. Absolutely good. 803-0550, the number two call. Sal Capaccio coming up in just over 10 minutes. We'll have him for about a half hour today as Bills get back to work. And also we kind of break down the trade deadline that was. Bills don't do anything. Jets do a ton, moving out a lot of their, you know, kind of star players in Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. They do keep Garrett Wilson, though, and Breece Hall. So it's not a full teardown for them, but they get a lot of draft capital over the next 2 years. Let's go to the phones, though, and we'll start off today with Ray on the line. Ray, how are we doing today, man?
Hi, guys. Good. You know, I didn't expect the Bills to do anything, and if they did, how impactful could it be? They didn't have the room. So
right.
In my mind, I'm playing Jedi mind tricks with myself, saying, you know what? Oliver has been gone most of the season. Palmer's been gone a little less than half. You know, if we would have got wide receivers, you know, what would have been their level? Somebody like a Jordan Palmer level or a Gabe Davis? Well, we have those guys. So if Palmer can even live up to what he was supposed to, you know, Oliver and Daquan Jones and Sanders, you know, those are our acquisitions. The hope is that they just, you know, fill in. So to me, we have what we wanted. They just, you know, and I'll be honest, I'm expecting a Joey Bosa injury from the pattern of it.
It's the one everyone expected. It somehow hasn't shown up.
So going back to the beginning of the year, if we would have said we were 6-2 and two of those wins were against Baltimore and Kansas City, I'll take it. So what's the cost of all this? What, a loss against Atlanta that's disappointing? Yes. But you know what? We got the conference wins. We put a nail in the almost another nail in the coffin of Kansas City, because I'm still a proud Buffalo 1990s guy. I don't want them to even come close to, you know, tying the four Super Bowls in a row. I love that if it comes down to a tiebreaker, we're the ones that put an end to it, the ones that hold that streak. But I think we have the guys on a roster. What else can we do? You know, but here's the big thing. If Bean does not address wide receiver next year, that's the real. He should have done it this year, but after going through this year, if he doesn't address it, that's the crime right there, somehow, some way.
Ray, thanks for the call.
Ray, we're going to find out together.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, but also going into next year, I mean, they've got two of their starting offensive linemen in contract years with McGovern and Edwards. Linebacker absolutely is going to be a need. You already mentioned Bernard, but Milano, probably done. Dorian Williams hasn't ascended to just flat out overtaking Milano. So linebacker will probably be up there. And yeah, I agree wide receiver, because I think you're not getting anything like Keon Coleman outside of really good blocking, which is absolutely a good thing. I'm not saying it's not. That's kind of all you're getting. We'll see if maybe in the second half of the year, Palmer starts to ascend. There was a little bit of that in the Atlanta game before he gets hurt. Maybe they start using Dalton Kincaid more. He is, I think, their best receiving weapon. I'd like to see him use more, but also, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If they get that running game going and the play action gets going, very, very few teams can stop them.
It becomes deadly at a point, and that's where it can get fun. And something that Ray said, though, also about, like, you're 6-2, you beat Kansas City, Baltimore, and at the start of the year, we probably all hammer that deal.
Don't even tell me anything else. Just say you're 6-2 and you beat Baltimore and Kansas City. Great, fantastic.
They're like, okay, there's a couple games that we drop in there, but who cares? And ready? The first guess is probably Atlanta.
Actually, yeah, because it has somewhat become a yearly thing where they will drop that ridiculous game. You hope it winds up in the NFC. It does. The problem is, though, just the loss every year becomes more and more baffling when they lose that one game. The Urban Meyer Jacksonville game kind of being the pinnacle of it.
Yes, but again, to Ray's point on that, that is something that is still good. And I do like a lot of the points that he made here. Also, the one of, what's it really going to be worth at this point when it comes to acquiring players that might be just guys? Mm-hmm. That's why wide receiver was, outside of Olave, and New Orleans clearly looked like they didn't have any intention of that because you heard nothing about him.
No, if anything, they really tried to squash it multiple times. I said Shaheed just because I think he could open up the offense more. Shaheed, he may not do much statistically, but he could open it up.
Shaheed does a lot of what the rest of these guys can do anyway, and that's more of the same. Jacoby Myers, I'm not impressed with him as an acquisition for the Bills. They have a lot of guys that can do what he does. Wow, I can speak English.
I do what he do. That's fine.
And that's really where I'm at. Is again, they set themselves up to prepare for an acquisition, but then they decided we're not going to overpay for one. And
a lot of deals yesterday were multiple picks. And I think that is a hard sell for a team that is going to maybe have to do a little bit of roster turnover, especially with guys, especially on the offensive line.
And especially with youth. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that you have that. Like you said multiple times now, like it sounds terrible to say it like this, but yeah, you want the cheaper labor infused into a lineup. That's where it's going to be valuable for them. Mm-hmm. So, again, Ray, you hit on a lot of good points there, and I appreciate the call.
One more call before we hit our next timeout. Bruce is with us. Bruce, how are we doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
In regards to the trade acquisitions, I just have, you know, one small thing. And before I do that, I'll cite Paul Hamilton. He says, when do you pick up guys? You pick up guys in the offseason. Mm-hmm. What did Bean do? He got Ogunjogi. He got Hoyt. You know, and Hoyt is a difference maker. And there's not another guy like him that you're going to get at a trade acquisition. And if you do, you're going to pay out the nose for it. So, you know, I fall on this. I say to myself, in the history of the NFL, name me one individual that was acquired at the trade deadline that made such a difference they won a Super Bowl. And I'll wait for an answer because there isn't one.
Von Miller with the Rams is kind of the one I can go to.
Yes.
But Bruce, I think your point, though, is fairly correct in the sense of, yeah, you build through the offseason. That's where the better
really
guys are available.
Through the offseason,
I'm a big draft junkie with the first, second mm-hmm. round talent. You want them to be those guys. But I think Bruce's point is right. Von's the one I can think of, but that also was the Rams. We're good. We're pushing all of our chips in now, and we have the cap space to bring in that caliber of player.
There's also circumstance to this. Ready? What did I say to start the show? I lament that the Jets were the team that was selling off pieces.
Yeah.
If there's a team having a fire sale that's not within the AFC East, tell me the Bills aren't in on something.
May not get done, but yeah.
They may not get done, but they're probably in on something. Because the teams that they trade with are Indianapolis, the one AFC contender that really buys.
And that is a good point. I know Jeremy brought up to him. We got to hit a break here. But that is also a good thing to bring up is that Denver didn't really do anything. Kansas City didn't really do anything. Baltimore added whatever pass rusher, I think, for like a seventh round pick.
Denver probably
no one really did anything.
Yeah. Denver would have loved probably adding a wide receiver like Myers on the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
Only two receivers even get dealt. The market was weird. And if the Jets were not in the AFC East, tell me that Quinn and Williams don't look so tantalizing on that kind of idea.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.